Good morning and welcome to Moments of Meditation. I'm Glenn Kleppe, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church at 410 Main Street South in Pine City. Our phone number is 320-629-3683. Our email is zionpinecity@gmail.com, and we have a website at zionpinecity.org. Our Sunday service is at 8:30 in the morning. Wednesday we have a service year-round at 7 o'clock. In the evening. And for a special event, we have our chili feed coming up on October 28th. We'll be serving from 5 to 6:30 on October 28th. It's a fundraiser for our preschool, Growing in Grace Preschool. I'm also the pastor of Living Branch Lutheran Church at 6486 Elm Street in North Branch. Our phone number is 651-674-5576. My email there is pastorglennkleppe@livingbranch.org, and their website is livingbranch.org. Our worship in North Branch is at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings, and we also have a youth group that meets there at 6:30 on Wednesday evenings. Today's October 8th on the church calendar. It's Proper 22. The Lord be with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Take a moment to consider your own sinfulness and your need for God's forgiveness. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious God, you gave your Son into the hands of sinful men who killed him. Forgive us when we reject your unfailing love, and grant us the fullness of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading assigned for Proper 22 on the church calendar is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Let me sing for my beloved my song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it, and he looked for it to yield grapes. But it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed, for righteousness, but behold, an outcry. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalm 80, verses 7 through 19. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river. Why then have you broken down its walls, so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit? The boar from the forest ravages it, and all that move in the field feed on it. Turn again, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see. Have regard for this vine, the stock that your right hand planted, and for the son whom you made strong for yourself. They have burned it with fire. They have cut it down. May they perish at the rebuke of your face. But let your hand be on the man of your right hand, the son of man whom you have made strong for yourself. Then we shall not turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. Our epistle lesson is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, verses 4 through 14. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter, verses 33 through 46. Jesus said, "Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it, and dug a winepress in it, and built a tower, and leased it to tenants, and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance.' And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death." and let out the vineyard to other tenants, who will give him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus said to them, Have you never read in the scriptures, The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. When the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds, because they held him to be a prophet. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How do people pick a church? How do you pick a church? Do you look for a good youth group or music that you like? Perhaps you want a church where the people are friendly. Or maybe you want to go to the cool church in town. You know, every town has a cool church, the place to be. Do you pick a church because you feel good when you're there? When picking a church, do you care about the truth? When it comes to our relationship with God, does truth matter? What is the truth about Jesus, about God, about the sacraments, about worship? Years ago, we had a group come to our church to work with us about making us a church that gets more visitors, and the visitors want to come back. I think they did a good job, and we learned a lot. One of the things they did was to run a session to train our greeters. One of the elders, on hearing that, responded, We don't need greeters. We have the truth. Well, I do feel that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is about to as close to the biblical truth as you can get, but it's probably still a good idea to have greeters at the door welcoming in visitors, don't you think? How does Jesus' teaching make you feel? Does it make you feel good or bad? Do you worship to feel good? Some of Jesus' best-known teaching, and perhaps one of the things people like best about Jesus' teaching, is his use of parables. You know what a parable is. Sometimes it's referred to as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Actually, the Greek word parabole, which is rendered in the English as parable, comes from two Greek words, the first being para, which means beside, like parallel lines, and bole, or which means to set out or put something. In short, the word means to set two things beside each other. Jesus takes an earthly story, which we probably understand, and he sets it next to a teaching about heaven or God or his kingdom, which we probably don't understand nearly as well. When we can figure out the connection between the two, we understand God better. We tend to think of them as nice stories. A man had two sons, and one was good and the other was a louse, and he loved them both. You know, that kind of a story is even heartwarming, isn't it? Maybe especially it's heartwarming for you if you know someone with two sons like that, one good and one not as good. Maybe it's you, and you love them both. And the story helps you understand a little better the love of God, even when we're not perfect. Today's parable is often called the parable of the wicked tenants, which doesn't sound very good, does it? An owner of a vineyard rents it out. starts out nicely. At the time of the harvest, he sends his servants to collect rent, and they beat one, and they kill another, and they stone another, and all of a sudden, it's really not such a nice story anymore. Well, maybe Jesus will redeem his story. He goes on. The owner of the vineyard says, I'll send my son, and they'll respect him. Won't that be nice? You know, maybe there will be some confession of sins, some absolution, some reconciliation. Perhaps the story is getting better, more pleasant. It's making us feel good again. But unfortunately, no. Those wicked tenants reply, we can have this vineyard if we kill the son. It's his inheritance. So they kill him. So much for being heartwarming. What kind of church do you want? I want one that tells stories about beating servants and killing sons, said no one ever. How about one that teaches the truth, even if the truth is ugly? The chief priests and the Pharisees perceived that Jesus, when he was telling this parable, and I think some of the other parables as well, that Jesus was talking about them. They were already planning his death. He was talking about them. They would kill him, and it was ugly. And of course, it would get uglier. Today, I think we need to ask ourselves the question, was Jesus talking about us? Do we give God his due? Do we give the Son the honor he deserves? Do we sell out the truth to make the faith more attractive, to put more people in the pews? Are we angry that God doesn't always give us the things we want and forget the price that he paid to forgive our sins? Are we any better toward God than the tenants in this parable? It certainly isn't a pleasant parable to consider, and it's difficult to think about how it speaks to us. But it actually is directed at us. The end of the parable is this: God will put those wretches to a miserable death and rent out the vineyard to somebody else. God will exact his revenge, and his people who treated his son so poorly, and he will call others into his vineyard. That's us. He calls us into his vineyard. He's given it to us. We are the vineyard of God. Through baptism, he's made us his people. Jesus gave his life on the cross to win for us forgiveness. Because of that forgiveness, we have eternal life. God has promised us a beautiful vineyard. We get to spend eternity in heaven with our Heavenly Father, the owner, and his Son, the heir. The gifts are ours. God's vineyard is ours forever. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us there. But what about the rent? That's where the parable goes south. Everything's going along fine until the owner of the vineyard sends his servants to collect his rent. The failure to pay the rent is the start of the trouble. Fortunately for us, the death of the son is what we owe. Jesus paid our debt. Jesus died for our sins. All of the times that we have not been the kind of tenants that God wants us to be, we are forgiven for those in Jesus. We owe nothing. What does he ask of us? Well, first of all, most importantly, he asks for faith. That's our admission into the vineyard. We are saved by grace through faith. For God sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Through faith, we are residents of God's vineyard. Does he need more? Well, certainly he asks for more. He asks for faithfulness. God asks not only that we believe, but that we live like we believe. God asks that we live like his people. He asks us to love those whom he loves. He asks us to serve those whom he has placed into our lives because they need our service. God calls us to be his ambassadors, to be his witnesses in the world. It's important that the wonderful truth about eternal life in a beautiful place with a loving God is not our truth only. God calls us to tell, to make disciples of all nations by baptizing and teaching. The wicked tenants don't care about the owner of the vineyard. We are called to love him with all of our heart and soul and strength and mind. So what kind of church do you want? There are lots of churches out there that look good and talk a lot about Jesus' very pleasant teachings, but when looking for a church, look for a faithful one that teaches the truth, even if it isn't pretty. One that proclaims the ugliness of sin. Because only when you know how really bad sin is, can you know the glory of God's forgiveness. Jesus suffered and died, and that's not pretty. But we have the glory of his heavenly home, which is beauty beyond imagination. Amen. We confess our faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the Church, the vineyard of the Lord's planting, that by the sacrifice of Christ and the comfort of his Spirit, she may yield much fruit for his kingdom, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For confidence to share in the sufferings of Jesus Christ, who died to make us his own, that we may also know the power of his resurrection, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all orphans, that they would be given a safe place in which to grow and thrive, and for generous couples who will give them permanent homes through adoption, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our president, our governor, and all elected and appointed leaders, that the light of the Lord may shine upon our nation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For strong hearts, to heed the pruning law of the Lord, that we may never presume to sin nor trust in our own deeds, but look to the rainfall of his grace for the source of life, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For zeal directed by the gospel of Christ and hands strengthened to accomplish the fruitful work of God in this barren world, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who worship this morning, that faith may be strengthened and love renewed until that day when we meet with all the saints in his everlasting vineyard, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Merciful Lord, you sing the song of your love over the vineyard of your church. Lift her united voice through your Spirit, that she would in turn freely praise your lavish grace and proclaim your salvation beyond her walls. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, you've caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Once again, thank you for joining me for Moments of Meditation. I'm Glenn Kleppe. I'm the pastor of Living Branch Lutheran Church at 6486 Elm Street in North Branch, where the phone number is 651-674-5576. My email address there is pastorglennkleppe@livingbranch.org, and our website is livingbranch.org. Worship in North Branch is at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings, and their youth group meets at 6:30 on Wednesday evenings. I'm also the pastor of Zion Lutheran Church at 410 Main Street South in Pine City, where our number is 320-629-3683. My email is zionpinecity@gmail.com, and our website is zionpinecity.org. Our Sunday service is at 8:30 in the morning, and our Wednesday service, which is held year-round, on Wednesdays, it's at 7 o'clock in the evening. In addition, as always, on the last Saturday in October, we will be having our Chili Feed, which is a fundraiser for our Growing in Grace preschool. The Chili Feed will be held on October 28th. We'll be serving from 5 o'clock to 6:30. Please consider coming and eating a good meal and having a good visit with your friends from the community, and supporting an important ministry, our preschool. May the Lord bless your week.